Okay, as usual, sometimes I get on a roll
Right.
and then I don't cover everything the way that we really should cover everything when we consider that not everybody in this class is at the same biblical level. So we're going to back up just a little bit. We're going to go back into the start of chapter 3 just to look at a few things. It's really easy sometimes when you're teaching and you're teaching with people that you're familiar with to forget that everybody's not on the same level. So if you're taking notes in this class, we want to back up, look at some scriptures to back up what it is that Paul is saying, and maybe give you a little bit more grounding in this area. So we're going to look at Galatians chapter 3, and I'm just going to read the first 9 verses to start, and we'll just touch on a few of those verses, and then we'll get rolling. Paul writes, and you'll see here, every time I read this, I think of a conversation that I had with Kirsten when Spencer was disciplining Brody, and it was taking a while. And Kirsten goes, "Oh, his lectures. He just talks and talks and talks and lectures." And it reminded me of when she was little, and she's just like, "Daddy, can't you just thank me?" I mean, these guys are getting a scolding, right? So, and one of the things to remember as we're studying this scolding is, we discipline differently based on age, right? Or in this case, Bible knowledge. When you get a harsh scolding, like Paul is delivering to the Galatians, it's because you deserve it, right? It's because you should know better. And what Paul's going to do in these first few verses, especially, is he's going to take them back to the Old Testament. So he's talking to the Galatians, who a lot of them were not Jews, but then he's also scolding the Jews, isn't he? The Jewish Christians who were trying to impress upon these Christians that they, Gentiles, that they should have to follow the old laws. But we want to be mindful, we want to be mindful of context. And I bring that up because there's different beliefs on when this letter was written. And I think that if we look at this and we look at the scolding that he's giving to these Galatians, that it will lend itself to between his around his third journey, okay, not his first journey. This isn't how I take Chris, for instance, who is a new Christian, and I take Chris and I just beat him up because he answered a question wrong. Right? We don't do that. However, if I lean, so we want to understand that. And I say that to say this. This is how Paul starts. If you haven't read ahead or you forget what I said last week, because sometimes I go a little fast. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you are now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations shall be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed in believing Abraham. So that hearing of faith, what does that mean? I like to ask you questions that are not on that sheet back there, by the way. So, what's it mean? What's hearing of faith mean? Just guess.
Witnessing someone else's faith.
Okay, witnessing someone else's faith. What else?
Hearing the gospel.
Hearing the gospel. So it's translated hearing with faith. So when I hear the gospel, it's words, right? Just words in a book. I can go to Barnes and Nobles. There's thousands of books, right? I can go to the fiction section, or I can go to the autobiography section. I can go to the history section. There's books everywhere. So what makes this book special? It's from God. And Paul spoke to these individuals, and keep in mind, we'll read a couple verses here real quick, but keep in mind that at the time that Paul spoke to these individuals, they laid hands on people. And they imparted gifts to people. They imparted the gift of the Holy Spirit, such as was imparted to them on the day of Pentecost, which gave them knowledge and gave them the ability to do things. Now, we don't have that today. There are some that would tell us that we do, but we don't have that today. But we have the promise of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Right? The Holy Spirit, God's inspired work. But if we don't have faith that those words are true, then it does absolutely no good. And if I have faith that those words are true, then those are the words that I'm going to preach to you, correct? I'm not just going to make up stories, twist the scriptures so that it lends itself to the message that I want to bring to you. I'm going to use God's word the way that God's word was intended. We're going to study Galatians from the standpoint of how does that apply to me? So can somebody turn, we're going to read just a few verses. Let's go to Acts 2, verse 38. You might be able to quote it. Acts 2, whoops, hit the wrong button. Verse 38. Who's got that? Go ahead back there, Dylan.
Just that one verse?
Yep, just one verse.
Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
All right. Thank you. What does that mean? Did every single person on the day of Pentecost that was baptized, were they imparted gifts? What's the gift of the Holy Spirit? We study this. It's kind of confusing sometimes,
salvation.
Right? Salvation. Gift of the Holy Spirit is salvation. Through what? Through His Word. So be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. You're promised this gift. Now, then, they didn't necessarily have this, did they? Right? And so, because they didn't have all this stuff written down, there were individuals in the church that were imparted knowledge. How do you teach something that you don't know? Now, the Galatians had individuals that taught them, but they were easily led astray, weren't they? Right? Can we be led astray?
Oh, yeah.
We can, right? Who's got a better excuse, the Galatians or us? Who wants to answer that one? Chris?
The Galatians might have a better excuse than us.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Well, we've had 2,000 years to study His Word, and they haven't had as long. They didn't have as long to work on the baby.
Okay. So they've got all these traditions, right? They've got these Jewish individuals that are versed in the law, that are probably well-spoken, convincing them. Did you have a hand up, Carol?
Yes, and in a twist, it's harder for us because they were closer to the truth and they had the miracles to validate when somebody was speaking the truth. And they also had somebody there who could point out when somebody wasn't speaking the truth.
Right. Trick question.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. Right? There's no excuse. We are given God's word. They were given God's word in a different fashion. But they were given truth, weren't they? And they said, well, if I saw miracles, I would. Right? Have we ever heard that?
Yeah.
Would you? Did they?
Yeah. Some.
Some did. Some went astray. Acts 5:32. Acts 5:32. Who wants to read that? Just go ahead and read it out loud.
And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit that God has given to those who obey him.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit is a witness, and he's given to these people. So they have this information, don't they? Is there any excuse? And we can go on. I mean, there's several verses, but we started late. We will look over at Galatians 4. He's going to touch on it again in Galatians 4, verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through salvation. So he sent the Spirit through his Son. They're given everything that they need to believe God. Now, if we look over at Romans chapter 8, and we look at verses 1 through 17, Romans 8, 1 through 17, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead also gives life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the gift of bondage again, talking about the law, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, if heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So if we don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, if we're not led by the Holy Spirit, what are we?
Dead.
Dead. Does it get any simpler than that? That should shake these Galatians, right? Here they were led by the Spirit, now they're being led by the law. They're choosing the law over the Spirit. And Paul's just being as blunt as can be. Choose that path and die. Now, does that mean they're going to die right now? No, they're going to die spiritually. What happens if you're dead spiritually? You're separated from God, right? I mean, that's a pretty simple argument, isn't it?
Steve?
Yes.
Just listening to you speak, it kind of sounds here like we can feel if we're being led by the Holy Spirit or not. but we are led by the study that we do by learning His Word.
Correct.
The gospel.
Correct, yes. And somewhere in my notes, we're going to get to that.
Thank you.
We're going to cover it basically under faith, right? What is faith?
Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Let's go there. So, justification by faith. Because faith in the Spirit, right, go hand in hand. But what does that mean, justification by faith? One person over here says that I'm justified by faith, and this person over here says I'm justified by the works. How do they coincide? What are we talking about?
Faith without works is dead.
Faith without works is dead. But Paul talked about works over here with circumcision. How do we tie that together? Larry talked about this for a long time. Okay? First of all, the word works, there's two different definitions, and I'm horrible at those definitions, so you're on your own. When Paul's talking about works, man's not justified by his works. He's talking about the law. Okay? He's talking about the law. And when he's talking about the law, he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Or if we go back to Deuteronomy and we read all of those thou shalt nots, right? And what does the law do?
Condemns.
The law condemns. The law defines what sin is. Right? And if you are living by the law, you're not living by faith, and you're not justified by faith, you can only be justified by the law. Yet we read over in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So all have failed the law. So Paul goes on. Actually, let's just keep it in order. That way I don't get too messed up. Paul goes on to clarify that there were individuals when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and that's a whole study that I'm going to leave to Dean, when we're talking about the difference of having the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the apostles received the Holy Spirit, right? They received gifts. They spoke in tongues, and they were able to lay hands on, and they were able to recall all of the things that Jesus had taught them. So they're given this gift of the Holy Spirit that's different than what you and I receive. So in Acts chapter 8, for instance, let's read verses 14. We'll read 14 through 16. Now when the apostles who were sent to Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. So they laid hands on these individuals and imparted these gifts. And this whole study confuses me. Verse in chapter 19 in Acts. Oops. Technology eludes me. Chapter 19, verses 5 through 7. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied. So when Lee received the Holy Spirit through the obedience of faith, is she able to speak with tongues or prophesy?
No,
it's different. It's different. And some of that's probably in the translation. But it's different. Your hand was going to go up. I saw it. She hesitated.
And
Carol's trying to give all of you guys a chance. Thank her.
When we sang one of the songs, it talked about we are God's handiwork. And I think is an easy definition between works and works is that I claim a work of charity or a work of this, that's me claiming that I did it. I can do it. Handiwork means that I'm an extension of God doing it. So I get no credit for it. And I think that's an easier way for me to understand
okay.
works.
Yeah, it can be a little bit confusing. I'm wading through my notes here, trying to decide how to get back to Bob's comment. So hold on just a second, because we're not going to get to everything, and we are going to move on after today. So, let's turn over to Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Let's see if this is what I'm looking for. Hebrews 11, verse 8, talking about faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. James 2. This is what happens when I go out of order. I get lost. So James 2, verse 20. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Yet we're told we're justified by faith. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that man is justified by works and not by faith only. So we'll get over here. When I say, let's just say I'm a farmer and I have a field and I want to raise a crop. And so I huck some seeds out there and then I just sit and wait. Am I going to get a good crop?
No.
What's a farmer have to do?
Lots.
He has to work. He has to prepare the field, right? You got to get the field ready for the you got to go through and pick all the weeds. You got to do all that kind of stuff. You put your seed out there properly, and then you have to water that seed, and you have to watch that seed, and you have to keep the birds from coming and picking that seed, and you have to nurture those plants so that they'll continue to grow, so that he can receive something. God blesses us through the Holy Spirit. But he requires of us, and this is where that you will have a difference of opinion with, let's say, members of the Baptist church. When we talk about baptism, they will say that baptism is a work. And so, but is baptism a work or is baptism obedience? Is obedience work? So we are justified by faith. In other words, I hear the gospel and I believe the gospel, and then what do? I obey the gospel. How do I first obey the gospel? Well, I have to confess that Jesus is Lord, and then after that, what do I have to do? I have to be baptized. And after I'm baptized, I'm done, right? I'm like that farmer that just sits in his lawn chair and he just watches the fields. Go ahead, Ben.
Kind of piggybacking off of that, right? Obviously, those two things are first, and then, but then he says, he who loves me obeys my commands.
Yeah. So, what, I mean, I guess it baffles me. Why is that hard for people to understand? If he loves me, he obeys my commands. What are his commands? What are his commands?
Loves God with all your heart and loves your neighbors. Crux of it.
Yeah. And it all kind of falls underneath that, right? If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal from him. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to steal his wife. I'm not. There's just so many things. I'm not going to covet. I'm not going to murder. right? We read about the fruits of the Spirit. Are those things that we're just born with? No. Am I born with patience? I'm 59. I'm not sure I have it yet.
No, we're not.
We're not born with patience, are we? Are we born knowing how to love? No. Those are all things that we have to develop in our lives. And as Christians, we have to develop things, right? We have to work. So Bob asks early on, it sounds like that I should just feel the Holy Spirit moving in. That can be a trick question. There are people that tell me, there was a preacher in Texas that said, these people were called in a dream. Are we called in a dream? No. Am I called to just study and learn? No, I'm commanded. But if I'm doing those things, let's say I'm successfully doing all the things that God would want me to do, am I going to receive a feeling for that?
Sort of. Satisfaction because you know that you did what God asked you to.
Yeah.
And you've been learning to overcome the anger or the frustration, and you've replaced it with God's love. It's not your love, it's God's love, and you replace his love with yours.
But that misconception that the Spirit is moving me and guiding me just magically, you know, I'm going to feel euphoric. I told Vicky when we were driving in the parking lot, I dread doing this every time I drive here. Not seeing you, but teaching. But then I'm fine once I step up here and we start, and I'm just like, oh, this is hard. It's hard to study, I'm worried. Bob's going to ask me questions. It's going to derail my class. I mean, what? It's hard. Right? But am I moved? No, I'm compelled. But people will say, you know, so if you believe that the Holy Spirit physically moves you, guides you, right? You have somebody that preaches that to you, and you believe it, and then it never happens to you? How's that going to affect your faith? Like, well, he's moving everybody else. Why isn't he moving me? Am I not good enough? Because if the Holy Spirit is just physically moving, he should be moving all of us, right?
I feel left out because it's never happened to me.
Yeah.
But I've had people tell me, you know, that they feel it all the time, and, you know, like their toes tingle or something. I don't know.
Which, truthfully, how exciting would it be to feel that? You know, there are people that just, man, they just have a fire, right? They have a fire to work.
It would be like a sign, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah, I think that's how you could, go ahead.
Okay, so I feel like I had the Holy Spirit move through me when I was baptized. And I felt like I was elated for like a whole week. So, I mean, because I was just happy. But it was my job then to keep that happiness in me by keep coming and keep learning and keep it up. I mean, I still feel that. You know, some days are worse than others, but I just know that God's on my side now and that he's going to give me that strength and that ability to just to keep learning and keep achieving. So, I mean, I feel like you get it once when you're baptized, and then it's your job to keep it going.
Well, God bless you for that, too.
That concept right there is something that we're going to talk about in the first principles class, right? Because every one of us, I got baptized right here when I was 22. I didn't really understand what was going on. I understood because Dick preached that baptism was necessary and that I needed to be baptized, but I didn't understand how big a deal it was. So we went to services on Sunday evening, and then like every Sunday evening, we would go over to Dick and Cheryl's, and Dick would study with us. You know, he was having like this personal Bible study with me, and he just asked, you know, have you thought about being baptized? And I didn't really understand baptism. I'm like, yeah, I was thinking about doing it next Sunday, or, you know, I thought I had to walk down the aisle, right? And he goes, no, let's do it right now. And I thought, all right, let's do it right now. So he made a phone call to Jerry Bassett, and Jerry Bassett came down, let us in the building, and guess what? The building was full of people. They made phone calls. People showed up. It was a big deal. That impressed me. And it lit a fire, right? But if you ever build a campfire, right? You know, you build a campfire, it's roaring. It's roaring. But you turn your back on it, what happens? It goes out. Right? So to Kirsten's point, you have this feeling, right? You come out of the water and you're just elated. And you think, my life is changed. Got it. Nailed it. Everything's going to be sunshine and roses. And guess what, Ben? We have to go back to work, don't we? Right? You got to get up in the morning and go back to work and work with those same individuals that are worldly people, and they start wearing them. Right? So it's work. And faith comes by work. So faith, the word faith, when we read that, really is defined by everything that's involved in faith. That's confusing, isn't it? So what is faith? Faith involves what? It involves obedience. We can read about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 5. If you just want to take some notes, I'll give you these scriptures right now, and then you can come back and look at them. So in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, and in chapter 16, verse 26, we can read that it's through faith that we're obedient. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it involves diligently seeking God. We don't just come out of the waters of baptism like Kirsten did and felt awesome. We have to work. Abraham had a faith that did what? Obeyed. So Abraham's faith moved him to obey, to follow the words that Jesus or God had given to him in Hebrews 11, verse 8. Faith must work through love. Galatians 5, verse 6. Go ahead.
Abraham was saved before the law, without the law.
Yeah.
So that's one of the contrasts that they're making. And another little point I wanted to make in that was that if you have a Holy Spirit pushing you to do everything, if you don't do it, not your fault.
No, it's the Holy Spirit's, right?
Oh, Holy Spirit's fault. He's not letting me work on that right now. I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. He got lazy, right? Just like if we're not doing very well, it's because preacher doesn't teach very good lessons. You know, that's his fault. No. So John 6, 27 to 29, we learn that faith is not from works of the law, but works of God. Okay, so we do the things that God asks us to do. In Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, he finishes up here in verse 10. Cursed is everyone under the law. Cursed. He also talks to us, talking about this promise, right? This promise that was made to Abraham. What was that promise?
All the nations of the earth will be blessed through his seed.
Through his seed. What does that mean? Jesus. Yeah, it doesn't mean through his seeds, through many nations, but all the nations. All the nations. They kind of missed that, didn't they? Who else missed that?
Me.
Paul! What was Paul doing prior to becoming Paul? When he was Saul, what was he doing? He was persecuting Christians because he didn't think that what Christ was saying, to where everybody's going to be blessed and everybody's going to be accepted, was right. He was holding to the old law, but he was missing it, wasn't he? So we're going to finish up chapter 3 next week. But let's just read 10, we'll read from verse 10 for a few minutes before the bell rings. For as many as are of works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Okay? So we got that word, that right there, 9:11. The just shall live by faith. And then we have to transition from there, and we have to go over to the book of James and realize that faith without works is dead. We have to put those two together. Right? We have to marry those two. And we're spending some time on this because these are questions that when you're having conversations with your coworkers who maybe believe something different, we have to be able to go to these scriptures and put them together. Because what will some people say? They'll say that Paul contradicts James. And if Paul contradicts James, we can't trust the books written by Paul, and we can't trust the books written by James. They're obviously not inspired. And so that nullifies the word of God. But does God preach confusion? Now, just because you're confused doesn't mean he preaches it, right? It just means we aren't studying enough. But really, if we think about it, it's really interesting to me, you know, the study of Philippians, the study of Thessalonians that Lenny did, and then coming here to Galatians, it really all boils down to the same things. It's the same message, repeated, repeated, repeated. Why? Because we need it, right?
We forget too easy.
Yeah, repetition. Well, Lee had to give me a list. And I just have to remember where the list is to get the things on the list. And then she gave me something to put on the list, and then I had to find the list again to put that other thing on the list, right? Left to my own devices, guess what?
Forgot.
She's not going to get anything on the list.
I know what was on the list.
She knows what's on the list. Right? So these Galatians, and as we wrap up, you know, we're going to get through chapter 3. We'll get into chapter 4, and then we'll wrap this book up with the third part of his lessons to the Galatians and to us. But think about that. If you have questions like Bob had, let me know. Write them down, because I'll forget. But let's get to them, Bob.
I'd like to make a statement specifically to Kirsten. I envy you for your feeling. I was raised in the church, baptized at a very young age, and it's taken me 80 years to develop my own Christianity, because I just kind of accepted what I was raised with, and I never studied like I should have. So it's been a struggle at times to be a Christian for me. And I can see, just by hearing you, and I've known this for quite a while, that you're not going to have that struggle, because the way you came to be a Christian, you came to be a Christian on your own, through your own. And I think you're very blessed by that. And I just wanted you to know how I feel about that.
Lori Scott said years ago, it's easier to keep up than it is to catch up. So as we're studying and we're growing, keep that in mind. It's easier to keep up. When we start to fall, when we start to slow down or wander, you know, keep in mind, it's just a lot easier to stay the course than it is to fall back down the hill and climb back up. Thank you for your participation.